September 2nd, 2025. Welcome to part two of This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, a Civic Media production produced in cooperation with WAUK Radio 540 AM 101.1 FM. I'm your host, Don Brown, and I'm coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the Work Hub Studios and the Five Points of Waukesha's historic downtown. Again, I'm joined by the Wonder Man, the Mighty Max Martinson, my producer, doing great things. And I'm rejoined by tonight's guest, Deborah Schneider, the co-founder and president of the Waukesha County Green Team. Welcome back, Deb.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I know we were jumping around in the first podcast. We were, of course, talking about your upcoming fundraiser, Farm to Fork, at Rustic Manor 1848 off of Route 83 on Sunday, September 21st from 11 to 3. $60 per person gets you basically a farm to table type meal experience. Did I get that correct?
Absolutely.
As well as some great live music and some exhibits from other Green Team partners showing what they're doing to try to make an impact for a more eco-friendly Waukesha County. So please mark that on your calendars and tell us your website again so people want more information.
It's www.waukeshacountygreenteam.org. And you can find the Farm to Fork information. You'll see Farm to Fork right at the top of our website, and you click on that and it'll go to the event page.
That sounds great. Thanks, Deb. And then, we're going to jump back. You know, we were talking about, you know, what does the Green Team do? And I guess, and this may be repetitive, but tell us again your primary services.
Okay. So, we started out with, we actually did like a little networking amongst a bunch of volunteers. Okay. And we walked away with, when we, you know, kind of like lined up and just like moved down the line.
Yeah. Right.
What we all kind of thought is that, well, if we could just educate people on the issues of sustainability, they would change their habits and what they're doing. And, you know, everything would just move forward. Well, you know, years later, we're still educating people.
Sure.
But another one of our great goals was collaboration, because there's a lot of good organizations in Waukesha County that are doing very specific things in terms of the environment. Like land conservancies and some advocacy and, you know, different things. And so we also saw ourselves as a collaboration group. Okay. And that we wanted to bring a lot of these efforts together so that people would work together and make a bigger impact. So that really is kind of like a source of what we do.
Okay.
We're a totally volunteer organization. It's only been in the last few years. We have two part-time employees.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of volunteers who are passionate about various aspects of sustainability.
Okay.
And that's what drives our work. So we believe one of our tenets is that sustainability has to do with development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future residents to live here.
Sure.
And so that's the way we kind of look at it. And that's the premise for which we move forward. So what are some of the things that we do? We work with the Midwest Regional Energy Association on solar group buys. So we have lots of residents over the last, I think we've worked with them for 3 or 4 years, who have implemented passive or solar energy on their rooftops. Mm-hmm. We work with municipalities and municipal community groups. So municipalities on providing information about sustainable things that they can be doing.
Sure.
And then there are community groups within municipalities, volunteers who want to work on sustainability in the place that they live.
Okay.
So examples of that are Greener Conemaugh, Pewaukee, Elm Grove, And I mentioned earlier that there's a group that's formulating in the city of Waukesha as well. And there's interest in Menominee Falls, so we're trying to form a group there as well.
Sure, sure.
So another group that I didn't mention previously was what we call Creation Care Network. And that is directed towards congregations, ecumenical, okay, non-denominational, congregations who want to focus on caring for creation as a part of their ministry.
Nice.
So we have a network and we bring people together, share ideas, and share what they're doing in order to help mentor them to do that.
Sure.
So you can probably tell what we try to do is we try to get out to various larger organizations and collaborate so that we're creating a much better, bigger reach.
Create awareness. That's terrific.
Yeah.
That's great. Anything focused on like our youth, our younger, although they seem easier. They're more evangelists than maybe people in our broader age group, us grownups, if you will.
Yeah. So, you know, what we find is we find youth are really are concerned about the future.
Right.
And yeah, our outreach coordinator, Joanna, works with a number of the schools and also organizations like 4-H.
Okay.
And works with the students in their environmental clubs and then comes out and does presentations, sure, or she might, you know, be a part of a class. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, we like to think that if you get the message out to the kids, they're going to preach it to their parents, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wrote a blog a few years ago for a home building trade association or the manufacturer for the home, an association representing manufacturers for the home building industry. And the blog was about how young people, millennials and Gen Z, are more prone to make purchasing decisions that are in alignment with their environmental and their social values, versus people in our generation where let's say, you know, we can justify if there's money in it or there's job security or, you know, whatever that is. It's, I think of that line from The Big Chill, you know, you can't get through the day without one juicy rationalization, you know, but it is a credit though. And especially because of the buying influence they have, these younger generations is significant, and the dollar amount, you know, also included an extra $300 million. You know, I think theirs was like 200, but then it's really 500 knowing that they influence their parents too. So that's definitely gotta be some encouragement for you. And do you find yourself in terms of your volunteer recruiting that you are, does it lean younger or is it pretty cross-generational?
So you're right. The younger generation is more social conscious. And we do find that, I think there are a lot of organizations that are nonprofits and they lean towards, you know, the retirees, but we've had a lot of young people on our board.
Great.
Because they're concerned about environmental issues. So, you know, people who are, you know, just getting out into the workforce, we've had people on our board that are, you know, just graduating from college. And it really does speak to their concerns. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Okay. I want to jump around a little bit, going back to, I guess, home building or about, you know, neighborhoods. Has anyone ever approached you about creating awareness for new urbanism? Are you familiar with the new urbanism movement?
Why don't you talk about that?
Sure. And again, I'm not doing this to, you know, like throw you for a loop or that's because it's something.
Right. I'm not sure what it is.
It started in the late 80s. So it's, you know, even though it's really come of age in recent years, but it was started by a lot of developers and other stakeholders that really got sick of these typical suburban developments that were far away from Main Street, were usually in marshes or natural areas that are just better left, undisturbed, back porch living, more traffic issues because they're further away from it. Just a myriad of all these issues, you know, random violence related to these suburban developments. And it was really kind of a return to that traditional neighborhood where it was front porch living. It was narrow driveways, smaller yards, but there was green centrality in the form of like a park in the middle of the neighborhood or a garden or a combination of those two things and other green space opportunities, trees and bike racks and like natural traffic, not necessarily barriers, but like things that encourage people to slow down when they drive or really just walk. And then what's called third place locality. So if your home is your first place and your work is your second place, that third place would be maybe it's a favorite coffee shop or your health club or your place of worship, wherever that is. Instead of driving across the city to get there or wherever, that it's all right there, you know, in that neighborhood or in close enough proximity. And it's there's a Congress of the New Urbanism that has an annual meeting. And I remember when I was in the city council, I was advocating for it a lot, and they were looking at community development was looking at pursuing some opportunities. I know there's one neighborhood, I think, is it Barton Oaks, I think it's called, or Barton, it's over, I think I have the wrong name, but there was a renovation done there to restore many of the traditional elements of this older historic neighborhood. And it's a pretty decent model for new urbanism. I think it's near that Bethesda Park, if I remember correctly. So I think it's Dunbar Oaks. That's it. Yeah. So, but okay. Anyway, that'd be, like I said, for a group like the Waukesha County Green Team, where, we live in a pretty affluent county with a lot of space and a lot of like historic neighborhoods and towns like Waukesha. And it would be great to see some more advocacy towards, turning heads towards, that kind of living.
Yeah. And now that you've described it, yes.
Okay.
And
you've been doing it, but just under different guys or different,
Yeah. So, having walkable streets or walkable neighborhoods and safe streets. And I have to say that what I see, like people in that age group that you're talking about, that what they're looking for is they're looking for a park close by that their young children can go to. Yeah. They want to be able to walk to the coffee shop. They don't want to have to keep jumping in their cars, right. That kind of thing.
Sure.
And in Waukesha County, we've been just very, very spread out. And we are also very tightly organized around our municipalities. Goes back a lot of years, I think.
Yeah.
But there are cities, there are villages. I'm just going to like point out, I live fairly near Sussex.
Okay.
And Sussex, I think, does a really good job of connecting their neighborhoods with sidewalks, with parks, with community, type involvement. And I think it's almost like, and also the other key is affordable living space.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
So that young people can get a house there.
Yeah.
And so I think, that we can have that in Waukesha County, but it really needs to be focused around, having a broader vision of who's
a holistic view. Yeah. An aerial view. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Terrific. That's great. Did I ask how many volunteers do you have currently in the
Waukesha? Oh my goodness. So there's different levels of volunteers and I would say volunteers that do things on various different levels, I'm going to say probably around 70.
Okay. Terrific.
And so those volunteers they might be a part of a municipal group. They might be a part of a gardening group. They might volunteer once in a while.
Yeah.
Come out to Farm to Fork and be a volunteer there. So it's really a variety of different things that people could do as a part of our organization.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever their interest level is.
Okay, that's great. And now on the other side of the nonprofit equation, in terms of like revenue support, is do you have kind of like different giving levels or a sponsorship program or other ways? I know you have your fundraiser coming up, Farm to Fork. I want to remind everybody, September 21st, at Rustic Manor, 1848, from 11 to 3, fantastic farm-to-table food, $60 a person going to a wonderful cause. What are some of the other, I guess, revenue sources or ways that people can support the green team if they're not able to volunteer, but are generous with the wallet?
Okay. So if they're generous with the wallet, we're always open to, individual donations to our organization. We also have a number of like webinars and events that are going on.
Sure.
And I'm just going to call attention to one that's also coming up in October. It's a heavy season for us. And that is, it's a community conversation and it's being held at Carroll University.
Oh, nice.
So we've done this once before back in 2018. I don't know if you or your audience is familiar with the Zeidler Center for Community Conversation. It's a group out of Milwaukee.
Okay.
And so it's people getting together. We're going to have a guest speaker and actually a meteorologist. And we are going to have people come and talk about in small groups, small focus groups, about their experiences with the environment and, what they care about in terms of the right. environment and sustainability. And as a culmination of that event, we'll be having our focus group leaders take some anonymous notes so that we can pull some information together about what our Waukesha County residents concerned about in terms of environment and sustainability. Okay. And that helps inform our work.
Yeah, for program development and sure.
Yeah, and then it also helps us to inform some of our officials and municipalities about what people care about.
And where and when does that take place at Carroll?
So that's October 23rd.
October 23rd.
Carroll University. I think it's a Thursday. It's at the Carroll University Ballroom.
Oh, the Stackner Ballroom, I believe.
Yeah. And that's 5:30 to 8:30 is when that will be. And of course, we'll have food again.
Okay.
So that's our draw. Come eat.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Carroll because I want to also let our listeners know that Carroll University football opens their season this Thursday evening at Eau Claire, a great non-conference matchup that starts 6 in the evening. And if you can't make it all the way to beautiful Eau Claire, which is beautiful this time of year, that's the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire. You can also, I believe the university there has a live stream on YouTube. You can catch the game, but we're wishing the Pios the best of luck in their football season, as well as in other sports. It really is a great athletic program they have there, in addition to all the wonderful academic offerings. We're proud to be in this university city at the state's oldest college, and we're grateful that they're partnering with the Waukesha County Green Team.
Yeah, they are a great partner for us, and we've been working with them, going way back.
Nice.
On different types of programming. So yeah, group of people there.
Good, good. So Deborah, we have about a minute and a half left. What is it you want listeners to know about the Waukesha County Green Team that we haven't discussed so far in our 40-minute conversation?
Okay. So I would like them to know, I would like listeners to know that you're invited to join us. And not just talking about to the Farm to Fork or to this community conversation, although those are great entry points to getting to know who we are, but to join us in whatever capacity you feel comfortable and come to our programs and you hear about what you can do maybe within your personal life or your personal action, or to join us as a volunteer in some way, shape, or form. It's for us, it's you commit to whatever you would like to do. If that's like one event, one time to show up, or multiple events, or getting involved further, we would love to have you join us.
That sounds great. Deborah Schneider, president and co-founder of the Waukesha County Green Team, getting ready for the big fundraiser Farm to Fork on Sunday, September 21st at the Rustic Manor, 1848 off of on Route 83, from 11 to 3, $60 per person, gives you wonderful farm-to-table fares to enjoy, as well as some great live music and exhibitions from many of your green team strategic partners, if you will. And to learn more, just visit WaukeshaCountyGreenTeam.org. Thank you so much for sharing your mission with us here on This Week in Waukesha. And looking forward to getting to know you and the rest of the team better. I know I've already have a great friendship with Adra, so really grateful to Adra from Alaska Fresh for putting this meeting together. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And please remember, especially as we head into the new school year, that safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. And a healthier, more eco-friendly world is also our right and our duty to maintain. And thanks to Deborah Schneider and people like the Green Team that can help us with that. Looking forward to more conversations and more progress as we move forward. So thanks again, everybody. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer, and see ya!